Welcome to the Netzpolitik Podcast. My name is Markus Beckedahl and my guest today is Peter Sunde from Flatter.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah, nice to have you back in Berlin. First, we should start with some introduction for people who don't know Flatter. What is Flatter?
It's really hard to name it something. We try to call it a social micropayment system. I would rather see it as a digital money sharing service or something like that. It's a new concept of how to share money between people on the internet.
Why do we need it?
We need it to make money or to share money with each other in a much easier way. It's a discovery tool for information that is interesting enough for people to actually pay for it. So it's a quality discovery tool. It's a way to kind of make people realize that they are producers and creators themselves and redefine the creator's role on the internet, and also to value information or data.
So the concept is a bit older than your company Flatter. Is it the street performer protocol?
Well, you could say that, but at the same time, it would rather be that if you see a street performer, you just, you know, push him in the nose or something and he gets money from you in the end of the month. The idea is more or less the Facebook like button or the dig button, but you attach money to it that you don't actually pay at that time. So you pay in advance to the Flatter system, and then at the end of the month, we calculate how many things you've flattered and divide the money. So it's a flat rate concept. You know how much money you're going to spend, and you can use it to spend on how many things or people you like. It doesn't cost you more, but it allows you to actually give money that you never gave before. Mm-hmm. So it's a mixture of, I would say, in terms of politics, I would say it's a mixture of the communist socialist idea of, you know, the planned economy and the capitalistic idea of actually making money for things, you know. So it's very political. It's at the same time very technology based. So we're trying to solve an internet problem or with technology as usual.
Yeah. When we take a look into your history, you was one of the persons behind the Pirate Bay.
Yeah.
Why did you start it, Flatter?
Well, when discussing the Pirate Bay all the time, when we went to debates or conferences and I spoke, or there's always this question from people, so how can I make money from the internet? And they didn't realize that the question is not about the internet really, it's more about how can I keep on making money in the new technology where people behave differently. So the platform changed, but the people is still the same. And I think that people want to pay or want to give you some sort of feedback or value back from things they get from you. And the question about how we can make money from the internet was always from copyright lobbyists or from people that make money from other people's content, really. So the copyright regime. And they're not really interested in making money or letting artists or creators make money. They want to make money themselves from those people. So I wanted to find a solution, a technological solution on that problem for everybody instead of just for the big corporations. And, you know, we have the long tail on the internet. We like the idea that there is so much information that you're going to find something that suits you really, really well, even though it might not suit everybody else. But there's no way to actually fund that. So I'd rather want to see something on the long tail where you can fund a little bit at least, which you never did before. So that's Flatter. And I think it goes hand in hand with what I tried to achieve with Pirate Bay as well, which was just giving people the possibility to share. And Flatter is giving people the possibility to share money.
When did you really started with Flatter?
Okay, so long story, really. I did the first sketches of it in 2005, I think. I saw something on archive.org in 2006 with the first name of the project, which was Share Donate. And then I had so much to do with other stuff, I couldn't complete it. And then I decided last year that I wanted to actually make Flatter happen. And I invited a friend in mid of 2009 to help me to do all of the things that I can't do, like design and all of that. And in February we're done, and it was first version of Flutter, and then we remade everything when we got some money to actually build the system for real. So that's the story. Yeah.
And since when did you started your closed beta phase?
It was in February, early February in 2010. And we invited first 200 people that are friends of ours or close friends of our friends. And in the end of April, I think we started inviting other people that we didn't know outside of Sweden, but still in a closed beta. But that's really the start of the current Flutter. So I think Netzpolitik was one of the earlier ones in April, but I don't think you actually started using it before May.
Yeah, we started in end of May.
Okay, yeah. So that's really the beginning of it. And I hope to be out of closed beta soon. At the same time, it's really good for us because we can see how much it scales. We can see how it handles. Be very cautious with it because it's money involved. Any system with money will be gamed or try to be gamed. We want to see all of the legal issues surrounding it. You know, we've been spending a lot of money on the legal things, so we know what we can do and can't do. So it's, we're trying to be really cautious before we go out of beta and then say this is a system where everybody can use for everything. So
What does soon really means?
Well, I wanted it to be open in June. That's not really, that's wishful thinking. I would guess end of summer, mid-autumn is a viable time to actually release it openly, but I'm not sure it's gonna happen though, but I hope around there somewhere.
Do you have some actual numbers? How many people are using it now?
It's over 25,000 users that are signed up. I don't know exactly numbers for how many that has active accounts. We call an active account someone actually put money into the system once. But it's still growing, like 40, 50, 60% each month. And that's just based on the invites that we give out. There's a lot of money going around the system. We don't give out too much details about the money because we feel that all of the money is people's own money that they make, and we don't want to force people to give out details about their economy. So that's why we're really cautious about that. For your listeners, I think interesting, of course, that Germany is the biggest country. German content at all is the biggest. That's Germany, including Austria and the other German-speaking nations around here.
Why?
I don't really know. I think it's a combination of German discussions about micropayments and about the flat rate, the cultural flat rate, which has been a really big topic in Germany. And I think also the adoption in Germany for technology is very high. The German bloggers especially seem to be really trying to find the new angles on everything. I think that might be the combination.
Or maybe it's also because German bloggers can't really sell advertisement because it's a too small a target group, and media agencies don't want to use bloggers to sell advertisement. And so Flutter or micro social payment is a way to get money.
It could be. I also hope that it's not just about the money. I think it's also good that, you know, use Flutter as a discovery tool and make people find your content that way as well. But I'm kind of the success case of Germany. I don't know how to actually find actual points. I also been to Republika to speak about it, and then I can see on the graph that when I went to Republika, there's so much more interest about Flutter. So there's a lot of reasons. In Sweden, for instance, it's not as successful as in Germany. We haven't focused at all at any country. Germany just happened by itself, which is kind of amazing. But we have the same situation in Sweden when it comes to bloggers, that there's two or three bloggers in Sweden that make money from advertising on their blog. Everybody else is just has, you know, it's for fun, really. It might be less people in Sweden that are interested in making money from their blog. Most people in Sweden wouldn't blog for money anyhow. So I don't know. Could be different things.
Is Flatter just a solution for bloggers?
Definitely not. I think the reason why it's so much used on blogs is because it's very easy to implement in blogs. I would guess 90% of all the bloggers use WordPress in Germany, and you just have the plugin and you install it and then you're off. On other platforms, it's harder. Photographers should be a very good group for this, but they publish their pictures on websites, and the website needs to actually implement support for Flatter. And that's usually the hurdle to actually find the service provider that allows you to implement Flatter. But with a WordPress blog, you usually have that possibility yourself.
Do you speak to platform providers like Flickr or other things to implement?
We have some partners that we're trying our new API with. Our idea right now is to be really, really cautious about everything we do when it comes to technology and implementation, because we don't want to be gamed. I think we have 3 or 4 partners right now that's using the API. And when it's stable enough that we can trust it, we're going to go out and find more partners that can implement it, like the blogging platforms directly, the service providers, the image hosting providers, and all other service providers that make sense.
So there, in the moment, there are 2 ways to transfer money to the Flatter account.
Yeah,
it's lots of criticizing around it because there's only money bookers and PayPal.
Yeah,
why don't you offer other solutions?
Well, there are reasons for it. First, PayPal is 90% or 95% of the money on the internet for solutions like this is transferred using PayPal. So kind of you fill the big quote with PayPal, and then we added money bookers because, especially, I don't like PayPal for numbers of reasons that most people probably realize. Moneybrokers is quite good because they also offer local payment options like banking transfer in Germany and so on as well. And they also do it in Sweden, which is good. They're also cheaper than PayPal. And I have more trust with Moneybrokers than I have with PayPal. So we added that. Problem is that every time we add a new payment option, it takes a lot of time because we have to be really careful about how to implement it. It's, you know, it's people's money and we take really good care of them. We're going to add direct banking transfers, which will be almost for free within Europe. But at the same time, it's so much easier to implement PayPal or Moneybrokers than actually going to the bank, you know, the big institution, and ask for the API to receive money. I think it's going to take just 1 week to implement the system to actually get money and to make everything, the money flow, work as it should be do with their solution. And we're not that many people that we can spend just 1 week, you know, for a small project like that. So we've kind of pushed the other transfer options away because we already have something which fills 95% of, you know, that void. So, but there's a lot of people asking for other options and we are implementing more, but it takes time.
I think if you allow direct banking transfer, much more people would use it within Germany or even within Europe.
Yeah, you know, the IBAN transfers are quite cheap, but they're also very, well, the tech savvy or the people who are really into and understands why PayPal is bad, they would use it. But it's, unfortunately, I would say, it's actually not that many people out of the whole base that are interested in that. So I think if we add direct, or when we add the direct banking option, it will be used by maybe, I would guess, maximum 5% of the users. But those are also some of the most important users. So, you know, we are going to do it, but it's so much more time and we don't have that many resources on our staff. So,
how many people work with you?
We're 6 people full-time working, 5 coders, 4. It's 4 and a half coders. And, you know, we have a to-do list, which is huge, of things we want to do. But, you know, it's prioritizing what we want to do. Right now, we're very much focused on security and on partnering. So that's a top focus.
And you need more employees.
Yeah, so if anyone lives in Malmö in Sweden and listens to this and you program PHP and you're really good at it, call us. We need lots of more people, we think.
And there was another question I asked my Twitter followers for questions. Which kind of software and architecture behind Flutter are you using?
Okay, so Linux with Debian is base. MySQL is database backend with lots of secret solutions to that. PHP for the programming. And of course we use Memcached for, you know, if you're gonna be really geeky about it, it's Memcached, and we use Sphinx for search engine and very open source. We use LightATPD instead of Apache. But it's very basic Unix setup, I guess.
Okay, the normal LAMP.
Yeah, well, without Apache, because I don't really like that. I don't think anyone of us likes that. So.
Not everyone.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the payment things. One thing I found out is if I use Flutter and get money over Flutter, I need a PayPal account to get money back.
Yeah.
I never wanted to have a PayPal account.
No. So that's, yet again, it was easy to implement. We are working on the Moneybookers implementation, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think that Moneybookers can actually pay out money directly to your credit card. So it would work for most people that have a credit card. And you don't have to have an account with Moneybookers to actually get money via Moneybookers, which is also the case with paying. You don't have to have an account with Moneybookers to pay using Moneybookers. We only use them as a payment gateway, we don't use their wallet service. The direct banking will be added to, like a direct IBAN transfer will be added to the payout solution as well.
And another big critical point, or which is always in the discussion, that you receive 10% of the money for Flutter.
Yeah.
Is it too high?
It is too high. We started with 10% because basically I had no idea when we started how much money is an okay number. 10% felt like it's not too much. It's workable, we can use it. And seriously, when it comes to PR, it's so much better to lower the number than to raise the amount. So if we had 2% and we raised it to 5, people would go crazy. But if we have 10% and we lower it to 5, people would be super happy. So it's also a kind of a mental state with people. I would do exactly the same. I would be totally upset if someone raised it that much. So we started with 10 so we can lower it. And at the same time, we're also, shouldn't really say this, but we're also discussing with partners and eventual partners to do a form of a revenue sharing program, that if you have a service that gives out free access to services, you can get a revenue share from each click. And that will come from our cut, because we never want to touch the money that actually goes to the people that has their own Flutter account. So they will get some percentages of each click to pay for the service of actually delivering the content and the Flutter button and all of that. So it could be a way for free services to actually make money from being free, which is something which I like the idea of.
Do you think of implement any anonymous way, payment ways? Like a pay safe card?
We are looking at that as well. There are some legal issues into that. And all the legal issues, if we are not sure, we ask someone about it, and then we have to wait a month to get an answer. And it's because there's so much things. Since we're in the European Union, there's European Union legislations running this. And we have to be somewhat sure of who actually gives money, I think. But there are some alternatives to how to manage that. But first of all, we need to be a legal entity, really safe that we're not going to be sued and not going to do anything illegal. And, then we have to see what we can do within those limits. But we are really, really, you know, going for anonymity on the service. So you don't have to show people that you flatter anyone. We don't give out information about things, how much money you received or things like that. So things that can be stayed kept private will be kept private, of course. And
That's always another point in the debate about Flutter. Yeah. Which kind of data do you store?
We only store financial transaction or financial transactions. So if you click something, that is actually a financial transaction. So we store that. We don't store that you viewed a button or anything like that. We don't store buttons that has no clicks. So if you put up a Flutter button, we wouldn't store that it's actually been viewed or store where it's viewed. So we keep as little data as possible. When you register with Flutter, you can add your name and address and all of that. You don't have to. We try to keep all of the data as low as possible, because we understand, of course, that people don't want to give out information without needing it, and we don't want to have information just to have it. And in order for Flutter to be a success, we need to listen to the people who use it. So we want the same as our users want, otherwise none of us will be successful with it.
If I implement the Flutter button in my blog, API is always transferring information back home to your servers.
Yeah.
Will you give an easy way for a privacy-friendly implementation of the Flutter button in a blog?
Well, so what we're doing right now is that we've added or we made a new API. So the JavaScript API, which is the default right now, will still be as it is, because it's kind of hard to remake how JavaScript works. With the new API, you can do server-side transfer of the information. So you can build basically whatever you want with the API. So it will be a REST API that uses OAuth to log in and all of that. So essentially, if you trust the provider of the service where you see the Flutter button, that should be enough. So they can take care of what information is being transferred to Flutter for you. And with that also comes that, we build trust by letting people do that, hopefully.
In the moment, you're a small company.
Yeah.
And you could call it a value-based company. But what happens if you got venture capital and there will be a bigger company who buys your company? Will our data be protected too?
Well, yeah, we have a lot of, in our company clause and the shareholders agreement, there is lots of clauses on that the data about users cannot be transferred without asking them for, between companies, without asking the user about if it's okay or not. So every time if someone would buy a share majority in the company, we will have to ask the users. And if someone wants to sell or take in money from that we have to ask the users as well. So that is very important to us, because I think without doing that, it wouldn't be fair to the users. And if they don't like what we do, they're going to do something else than use Flutter. So that's super important to us. And, just to show how much conscience we have within Flutter, I think we're the only company in the world that has in the, Articles of Association, like what the company works with and the rules for the company, which is official. We're probably the only company in the world that doesn't allow any money within the company to be used on animal products. That's actually in the articles. So we're a vegetarian company. We have a lot of social conscience. So,
okay. I have a Flutter button under every posting in my blog.
Yeah.
Because I thought, okay, I don't want to think every time I blog, use a Flutter button or not. So a big criticism on this is you're not allowed to do it because Flutter is only for the content owners.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, then you have to ask the question, what is the content that you Flutter? So this is a very fluid thing. Both you and I have been very involved in the copyright debates, and this is it's a very hard question. So I would say it's okay, because if you, for instance, embed a video that you haven't made, you have still provided information about the video, and that's actually what I would Flutter if I Flutter. Otherwise, I would go to the video page and Flutter that if I could find it, or maybe Flutter both. But it's very hard to say where or when it's not okay to do it. If you would put into system to, take someone's other people's content, say it's yours, and then want money for it, that's one thing. But, linking is what you do on the internet, and embedding is something which is mostly good for the internet. So I think that's totally fine.
So it's more the curation, what people are flattering for, and not the creating of the content.
Yeah. I think one of the things that has happened with the internet is that we have so much content that filtering the internet becomes hard work, and finding that information which is interesting, the metadata about information, is as important as the information itself. So I would flatter someone who finds something as well, because just finding it is information enough for it to be flattered.
Another argument within the German debate is on Flutter, only bloggers give money to other bloggers, so there's no money coming from other people. Is it true?
It's not really true. One of the most impressive things is I think it's over 60% of the people who signed up for Flutter and actually pay money to the system have no things registered in their own name. So that means at least over half of the people now registered on Flutter gives money only and doesn't receive anything. And that shows that people are really interested in giving money to other people and sharing money with each other. And at the same time, even if people would give money to each other, it's still a relation of how much money they give to each other. So if I click once a month, on your blog, I would give you all of my money, but you might click on 200 people and give them small portions. So it's very hard to say only people give money to each other. Well, that's how monetary system works, that everybody spends money on and gives away money to each other. But it's also in the beginning of any system, I think it's, especially when it comes to a monetary system, the people who have the most interested in trying to use it is, of course, the people who are interested in making money from it. So we see gradually that the more accounts come, the less things they register to it. So people are interested in giving money, I think.
In Germany, Flutter is used by lots of known blogs, but also by smaller newspapers like the Taz or the Freitag.
Yeah.
Do you talk to other publishers which aren't normal blogs but are most known or well-known newspapers?
Well, what happened is that they, both those two, decided to just add Flutter buttons. So we haven't really talked to any partners, which is kind of weird. There are some people we want to talk to, of course, we want to talk to YouTube and all of the big sites, but I think it's more, we're trying more to find partners that have user-generated content than finding partners which are megaphones, I would say. So newspapers are mostly megaphones for articles that they write themselves. You see, like, the New York Times want to implement a system for a paywall, we don't want to be there. We don't want to support them, really. We rather want to support people that give out the information for free. And that kind of goes hand in hand where you will make your money as well. I think a blogger will make more money from Flutter than a newspaper, because the newspaper has so many different places to make money. So it wouldn't be a big portion of their income. So, you know, it's hard to see where it's going to end up in the future, but I think user-generated information will be the most successful thing. So newspapers are... The Taz and those are making some money, I know, and that's really good, but it's not going to be their main revenue.
But what happens if, for example, Spiegel Online in Germany uses Flutter? They have up to maybe 100 articles each day, and lots of their readers use it to flatter their articles. Will the money transferred from the long tail, where now the money is being flattered, to the mainstream media?
I don't think so. What happens is that what we notice is the more people that sign up or use Flutter, the more people sign up for the system, which means that there's more money in the system. And when there's more money in the system, people, there's going to be more things to flatter. And the more things there are to flatter, the more people that are going to be in the system. So there's going to be more money that for more people with Flutter means that you will have a bigger percentage of actually getting a click from one of them. So I think it goes hand in hand. The more the system becomes, the bigger the system becomes, the more chance it is that you're going to make money from it. what we don't know. Everything is still a test. You know, we're not sure this is going to work. When it's working for some people, it's still growing, but there's no final solution or final answer to how everything is going to be. So it's testing, and I think it's more about how people behave and what they want to support than, you know, I would rather click on a blog than click on Der Spiegel, because I know that the money is going to a certain person than going to a big corporation. And I think that's more deciding how people will behave than who's actually implementing the button itself.
Do you know what are people flattering? Because when I take a look at the usage on Netzpolitik, and if I compare it to Taz.de, for example, then you can see people are flattering things where they are against Nazis on Taz.de, Christian Democrats on Netzpolitik, and it's more like, there's a funny thing, I flatter it because I like it.
Yeah,
but the people aren't really flattering the hard work, like long, maybe boring articles, background articles, which are important, but which aren't funny. And I sometimes see it, it takes several hours to write a long background article, and nobody is linking to it, nobody is commenting it, nobody is flattering it. And then there's a nice sentences by a politician, which cost me 2 minutes to block it, and it's the most flattered article in a month.
Yeah. So what happens there is, as with everything else, it's like there's so much competing for people's attention that if you write a long blog post, if you write, do something really hard, do an art project for 2 years and you have an exhibition, it's not going to be as many people as go to a stand-up comedian that does two funny jokes. That's just the attention span of people and how interested they are. So I would say that when you write a blog post about something really long with a good background checking and all of that, it kind of ends up further down the long tail. Even though it's on the same page or same blog or whatever, it's still a different type of content. And that's kind of why it won't make as much money, but it will never make as much money or get as much attention as something which is easy. So that's just human behavior, I think. It's not always good, but it's how it is.
Yeah, it's maybe like the financing of journalism. The newspapers don't earn money with their politics.
Pages. At the same time, I think a lot of the, it might sound stupid, but a lot of the really good journalism in today's newspapers are based on or funded by the stupid stuff. So we have the advertisement, we have the stories about Britney Spears that a lot of people buy the newspapers for. They still fund the more important things that the newspapers do. So it's like research. You spend a lot of money on research, and we spend more money on finding the seedless melon, on developing that, than we spend on I think cancer in the 80s, you know, it's really stupid, but it's still funded by someone. And in the end, there's going to be a spillage from the stupid stuff over to the good stuff in terms of money or attention of research itself or similar to that. So I think in the end, stupid stuff funds good stuff.
Okay. We have some more questions from our follower. How can I delete my Flatter button? Flatter account.
Oh yeah, that's been the hardest feature to actually implement, and we have one person working full time on that for the past 3 weeks. First, we actually forgot about making that that thing, and then we started deleting accounts manually, which was really hard work. Thing we need to do is that it's really easy to delete an account that never put money in, but if you put money in there, so much loss that comes into effect, because we have to refund some money depending on how long they were in the account, if the account was started being used or not. So it's a lot of steps we have to do to actually delete an account, and we want to reset data, and some data we have to store, like if there's money transfers and blah blah blah. So hopefully that function will be actually public within a week or so, but it's really much harder than you think.
So my will my account be deleted if I don't transfer any money into that account?
No, we will not delete accounts just because they're inactive. We will delete accounts, or we will let people delete their own accounts, or we will delete accounts if they're fraudulent or something like that. But not, never ever otherwise.
In an written interview we did last month for Netzpolitik, you said another vision for Flutter is something like social news.
Yeah.
Do you have any concrete plans?
Well, not well. The thing we want to do, of course, is we want to make the Flutter.com a bit more interesting. Right now, it's more like a portal where you go to put in money into the system and get your cut and paste code and then leave. But there are some things we could do with it. Otherwise, you know, right now we only have plans to find partners and make the delete button and some other things. So we don't really have any concrete things like that on the to-do list yet. But there will be something, of course.
Okay. And will there be a transparent iFluttered page where I can show for people when I choose this option?
Yes.
What I liked?
This should be already. If it's not already on the Flutter page, it's in our development system, so it will also be out soon.
In the beginning, you said that you are thinking about ways against gaming the platform.
Yeah.
Did you saw any ways how to game Flutter?
Well, not any really good things how to game, not really smart or clever ways to do it, but there are some things, but they're not, well, most of the gaming goes away because of the need to actually fund your account before you can start Flutter things. So that kind of killed most of it, but there's also the possibility to game it by putting in money and then having thousands of accounts just to get a high ranking from the webpage. So if Flutter.com as a landing page or a place where you get information from becomes successful, then we'll see more gaming, I think. Otherwise, no, not really at this point yet. When it's more money involved, probably, but we've seen some attempts, but they're quite stupid. So,
okay, you're lucky.
Yeah,
up to now.
Still.
When I started my account, I had three invite codes.
Yeah.
And since that, I'm waiting for more.
Oh, you didn't get more.
Yeah, you sent me 150 with an email, but you should implement a way that I can receive three others 2 months later or something like that.
Yeah, so
because
that should actually have been,
I
think that was in the code. So one of the things that happened is that I created the first Flutter platform and then we got people on board that to remake everything because my code was built on 5-6 years old code and that I cut and pasted to the Flutter project. And the first thing we decided the first day of work at Flutter, the new office, was that we have to remake everything because the old code is crappy and old. And one of the few things that I was allowed to program after that, because they saw my code, other people, was the invite system. And now you complain about it. So I think I actually implemented that, but I have to recheck the code then. But it should be reset after I think 30 days you should get new codes if you're still an active account. And yeah, but if it's not working, as you say, I'll check it later. Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to social micropayment in general, do you see any new business models based on it, which can be developed?
I'm not really sure. You know, I think just the idea of how Flutter works is a new revenue stream for most people. And I think we need to test it out before you can see anything develop on top of it. It can, of course, be used in games on the net and everything else. But at the same time, we don't want to make it into a paywall solution. We don't want to make it that you have to Flutter something in order to get something, which kind of stops most of the projects you can make on top of it. So I think we have to see what happens, but as it is now, I think Flutter itself is the model we try.
Hmm. Another thing what people often demand is, in the moment, I pay, for example, 10 euros every month to Flutter. And then...
You should actually pay more, because you make more.
Yeah, but now you offer more.
Yeah.
Last month, you just offered up to 20 euros. How much is it now?
I think it's 100 or 150 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. But then everything I'm flattered is 10%, 10 euro divided through all the things I flattered. Why can't I choose that for one article I give more?
Well, we have some ideas there. We are going to do like a recurring payment that you can set up that I automatically flatter certain sites each month or certain blog posts or whatever you want. Like certain things you can automatically flatter. So for instance, for charity, I want to give a flatter click each month to Save the Children Foundation or something. And then we're going to probably, depends on legal issues, add a small... extra payment directly from your means account to the other person's revenue directly. But that has a lot of legal implications, and it's changing the model quite rapidly and quite heavily. So it depends on the outcome of the legal research, actually. But there are so many things you could do with Flutter, so many exceptions you can do if you want to. And at the same time, we're still trying to make everybody use Flutter, and we want to make it as easy as possible. So it's hard enough as it is today, I think. And we need to just have it easy for now and then add all of the other options afterwards.
Let's take a look which new question came in.
How much are you going to raise to each month? How much money are you going to spend on Flutter?
10 or 20 euro.
You spend 10 now?
I spend 10 now.
And how much did you make last month?
600.
The ratio is quite low, Marcus.
Yeah, but we also have to pay here our technology, and sometimes I want some money to travel to a conference to report.
Yeah, I'm just saying. at least 20, okay?
So maybe. How do you think will other people who are non-publishers start using Flutter?
I think it will be through partnerships mostly, and that's why it's quite important to find the service providers. And if there are big video platforms or something that actually gives people the possibility to help out with creation, I think that will be a really good incentive for people to use Flutter. And that's what we're hoping for, at least. And then there is the social status. We've made a Facebook application, wow, like everybody else, that you can use that shows the last things you flattered and all of that. So we hope that by letting people have some ego trips as well on the system, there will be more usage of it for the people who don't want to produce things.
So Flutter is a company.
Yes.
You own the intellectual property.
Well, there's not much property, and I'm not sure it's very intellectual, though.
Wouldn't be better to have an open standard for social payment?
Well, the problem here is not actually about the standards or anything that could be arranged. We're still not sure how, as I said, we're still kind of seeing this as a testing project. The problem with Flutter is not to create a competitor or something like that. It's legal issues. There are, we've spent half of the money we spent so far has been on legal research and everything like that. And that's the hard thing with Flutter. The technology is quite easy. So I would rather say that what we should do with Flutter is try to be an organization instead of a for-profit company. At the same time, it's really hard to do that as well. So, we're trying to find other solutions like activity streams that we want to use and support the OpenLike initiative and all of that and use their standards. Every API thing we do is based on other standards. We want to open up the system as much as possible. But the hard thing is still the legal issues. So it won't give a lot of good back to the community, even if you opened it up, because other people can't do it without being companies with in the right country, with the right legislation, with the right authorities and all of that. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have all the questions.
Okay.
Done. Do you have other things you always wanted to say to our listeners?
Oh, no. No, I don't know. No, I keep voting for the right people. That's the only thing.
So, and you promise there will be an open beta phase at the end of summer and
hopefully, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Then we wish you good luck.
Thank you.
And good luck in the future, that there will be a better Flutter soon.
Oh, by the way, the Flutter team is coming to All Together now. So I think we will try to have a workshop if people want to talk to us and meet us and integrate and everything and come and influence a bit.
Beginning of September in Berlin.
Yes.
I will blog about it soon.
Yeah, really good. Okay.
Okay, then thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, and thank you.
Have fun.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.